Again, bring greetings to each one in the name of Jesus. Welcome each one to the service. It is kind of hard to believe that this is the last evening. We've really enjoyed ourselves here, and thank you each one for your kindness, your hospitality. Y'all have went above and beyond, and we thank you so much for that. Thank you for the gifts, the prayers, and all the love that we've felt from each one of you. And we want to personally invite each one of you to come to Commerce, Texas and visit us there. For the ministering brethren here, we'll give you the same privilege if you come. We will allow you to preach for us. I know Brother Joe was there for meetings here not long ago, and we really enjoyed that. I think Brother Ernie preached for us here not so long ago either. So, praise God. And again, we want to thank y'all and continue praying for us. We're still in the battle there as well. For a message this evening, let's open our Bibles to, again, to 1 John chapter 4. We are going to continue talking some about light, or the light of God. I usually like to have a concluding message, end of the meetings, kind of bring everything together, and maybe not quite such a full load on that last message, but kind of bring it to a close, but I'm sorry, I've got a full message here for you again. hopefully you can bear with me there. But it's a burden that I have, and I just want to share it with you. It's been laid on my heart, and I've been richly blessed by how your brothers and sisters work together, the love that I sense here, and I want to encourage you through this message to continue that. And the message title of the message this evening is Go Forth and Walk in the Light of God. If you notice, I didn't say go forth and walk with the light of God. Go forth and walk in the light of God. It's very important to go forth with the light of God. But if you want to really be effective, go forth in the light of God. That's when you'll be effective. And that's what we're going to look at this evening, is putting all of what you've heard into shoe leather. Just putting it into practical ways that you, as brothers and sisters here, can use the Word of God, can work together, build each other up, encourage each other. As brothers and sisters, that's what this world is looking for. That's what the sinners in this world are looking for. Somewhere they can go that'll encourage them, that'll build them up, that'll lift them up. We're not going to turn to it, but in Psalms 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's something that will guide us through. So as we go through life, let's walk in the light. Let's move on here. Like I said, I want to focus on you as a church, working together, loving each other, honoring each other and respecting each other. And again, it's not that I have felt that y'all don't love, honor, and respect each other. I've been richly blessed. The short time we've been here, I know you're humans. I know that there's probably times that you have trouble loving each other like the rest of us do. But I have been blessed at what I've seen. You put forth an effort to love each other, to respect and honor each other. And that is very, very important in church life. You know, there's a verse that probably all of us learned. Probably our mothers taught us when we were 3, 4 years old. And that's Luke 6:31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. You know, a very simple verse. It's a verse that, you know, like I say, the little children even learn that verse. But if we'll put it to practice as adults, church life will be a blessing. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know, just that simple, what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, that goes a long ways. Brother, sister, whatever it is. You know how you want to be treated? Treat the others that way. You know, that's where love and stability is born. Okay, 1 John 4:7-11. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for the love of God, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, that we love God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know how true that is. Even before we loved God, He loved us. You know, before we were born, God sent His Savior for each one of us. That's how much He loved us. And He's wanting us to love each other in that way. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, don't we want to be children of God? Don't we want to be children walking about in this world that represent the Almighty God? If we want to be that child of God, we're to love each other. Encourage each other. Build each other up. John 15:10-14 gives us the thought of if we want our joy to be full, to love each other as Christ has loved us. So is that telling us that if we love each other, that'll bring joy? I think that's what it's telling us. I believe it is. It's telling us that if we love each other, we will be joyful with each other. We will appreciate each other. We'll have an appreciation and a love, a respect for each other. When we have that love of Christ for one another. You know, and it's not only a little bit of joy. It says our joy shall be full. You know, that means complete. That means that we're going to have a life of satisfaction. You know, how much satisfaction do you get when you're having trouble loving someone? We've all faced it, that are of any age at all. We've all faced it, had trouble of loving somebody. There's not a lot of satisfaction in that. You know, yeah, we can go and I hope you ain't never been there, but probably quite a few of us have. You're having trouble loving somebody and you can go and really give them a talking for it. You know, you can really lay it out, tell them exactly how you're feeling about it, and then you leave. Do you feel satisfied? Do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel like you got joy now because you just really blowed it off and told them really how you feel about them? Most of the times, not. Most of the times you leave there almost feeling guilty. Because you didn't tell them that in love. I'm not saying not go talk to each other, understand me. But when we talk to each other, let's talk in love. Yeah, sometimes I've had it before. Brothers come to me and they tell me pretty straight, pretty plain, and don't have a lot of padding to it. It hits pretty hard. But I can tell they're telling me in love. You can leave in joy when you do that. Both of you can have joy. You know, when those brothers or sisters leave, there's a joy there. It's, wow, Somebody loves me. Somebody cares about me. Somebody's watching out for me. You know, that's what the brotherhood is for. When a brother or sister comes and taps you on the shoulder and wants to talk to you, don't run. Don't be afraid. There is someone who loves you. There's someone who cares about you. And there's someone who wants to walk along with you. You know, that is precious. That is the beauty of the brotherhood. That is one of the beauties of walking in the light. When we walk in the light, what happens? We'll be able to tell if somebody steps out of the light. If your path is illuminated, you can see clearly. You will be able to tell who is in the path and who isn't. You know, we've got a great responsibility to lift each other up, love each other. How are men going to know that we are the disciples of Jesus? How are men going to know that? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. John 13:35. You know, I have read that verse I don't know how many times. And it never ceases to amaze me. It never ceases to shock me. Every time I read that verse, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. You know, we can read that and that doesn't sound like it's much. It says, by this shall a few men know that you're my disciples. No, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By this, the entire world will know you're my disciples if you'll just love each other. You know what that's telling us? That's telling us that loving each other is not something that's easy to do. It's not something that comes natural. It is something that only comes through the love of Jesus Christ. And it's something that will only come through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. We all know how easy it is. Sometimes we slip. Sometimes we fall away from God. And it is hard to love. You know, it's hard to have that love and respect for that brother or sister beside us. All of a sudden, we can see a few areas that they need to grow in. All of a sudden, we can see a few areas that, you know, they're just not really coming up to the plate in this area. You know, I'm doing all of this and they're really doing nothing. I want to challenge us. If we are seeing what we are doing, we're very likely in the shadows. If all we can see is what we are doing, we're very likely in the shadows. We're very likely not walking in the light. In the path that Jesus Christ has laid out for us. Because if we are in the path of Christ, that illuminated path, walking in the light, we're not going to notice what we're doing. We're going to have our eyes set on Jesus Christ. That's where our focus is going to be. It don't matter how much we do. It doesn't matter how far we go. It doesn't matter how many people we help through life. It doesn't matter if we're the only one who is encouraging the other brothers and sisters. We're not going to recognize it because we're doing the work of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, if there is anything that'll pull a church together and unite them, is when we can do that. Just focus on Jesus Christ. Give Him our all and do all that we can for Him. Because what happens? You know, you take one brother or one sister, And they commit to the Lord Jesus Christ that is what they're going to do. They're going to encourage every brother or sister that they can as they go through life. You know, as you go from day to day, you see a brother or sister out there, and you know there's some days we're kind of down and out. There's some days that we're facing a struggle, a battle. You commit into your heart that you're going to keep your eyes open for any brother or sister that looks like they're struggling, or just any time you meet them. You're going to have a word of encouragement. You're going to lift them up in some way or another. You're going to point their mind back to Jesus Christ. It can be in a simple way. Sometimes all it has to be is just a friendly, loving smile. As you're going through life, you see your brother, smile. Let him know you recognize him. Wave at him. You know, maybe you're out in town. He's in the parking lot. It's okay to holler at your brother over there and let him know you see him. Wave at him. You'll be surprised at how that'll lift him up. Maybe he looks down and out. Just let him know, hey, brother, how's it going? Or sister, how's it going? You know, just reach out and lift each other up. You'll soon figure out that you won't be the only one doing it. That is contagious. That is contagious. As you do it, the others will do it. Before you know it, the entire congregation is going to be lifting each other up. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Brothers and sisters, the all men are going to see that. All the men, the world, they are going to see that love. That is what the world is reaching out for. That's what they're doing all this they're doing for. They're trying to find true love. They're trying to find true acceptance. They're trying to find somebody that will love them. They're trying to find somebody who will accept them. And when they see that, that catches their eye. They know that that's the love of Jesus Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, you have that privilege here. And I want to believe that you have been doing that. And God bless you for it. Keep it up. Do it more. You know, when the world sees, as we go about life, that we find it a joy to meet each other on the road of life. As you're going out in town, around, at work, you meet somebody else. The world sees that. They can tell whether we're glad to see each other. They can tell whether we have joy. Is your joy full? If your joy isn't full, I encourage you to get it filled up. Love your brethren more. Love your sisters more. Fill that joy up. Let the world see that you have the joy of Jesus Christ in your heart. Because when they see that, that's what we want. That is what we've been looking for. There's no confusion in true love. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 10. Honor one another. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You know, sometimes in church life we feel like we're the spare tire. Everybody else gets to be out in the limelight, and we're back in the backgrounds doing all the work. You know, you probably felt that way before. Slaving away, making sure everything gets done, everything's in place. You know, the others are all out here, and it seems like maybe there's other brethren that really ain't doing much, yet they're getting all the glory for what's going on. I want to tell you, you're not being forgotten. You're not being missed. The true rewarder of all good is seeing what you're doing. Jesus Christ is seeing what you are doing. You know, that's one way the devil likes to tempt us. Because really, you know, you may have a brother or sister that is more outgoing. They're more the one in the forefront. Seems like they're getting all the honor for doing this. If you feel that way, I encourage you just to jump in the boat with him. or with her. Help them out. Be there with them. Because as we build together, there's no one individual above another. Honor that brother. Honor that sister. And yes, we do need to remember those who do labor. And it seems like they're never seen for what they're doing. We need to remember those. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of jobs that you fill in this congregation, I'm sure, that probably seem to be never noticed. But God notices each one. When we are faithful and just give our all to it, God will bless us. It says He will reward us openly for that. So let's honor one another. It's not who has the honor. Let's honor each other. Don't be willing to be the one up front, so to speak. Don't be willing to be the one always in the limelight. Get everybody together. Bring them all. In honor, preferring one another. You know this, the work of this church isn't Brother Ernie, Brother Joe, or Brother Jason's job alone. It's a work of the church. Each one of you are very important in this church. Yes, a lot of it lays on your ministering brethren. They're to see that things happen. They're to keep, you know, all the schedules, everything going. They do a lot of things. But I'm sure they depend on you as brothers and sisters to help out in a lot of ways. You know, the point is, it doesn't matter who leads out. It doesn't matter who does what. But when we just humbly honor each other, lift each other up, the work of the Lord can go on and it can be fruitful. It can be fulfilling. And it will fill your joy. First Peter 2, verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, I didn't notice it till I was studying for this message here. At this verse, short little verse, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. How many periods this verse has in it? Honor all men, period. Love the brotherhood, period. Fear God, period. Honor the king. There's four sentences in this little bitty verse. And there is a message in every sentence of this verse. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. There is a message. There's four messages in that short verse. You know, God is calling us to a higher walk in life. We don't have to keep continuing on through life not loving each other, not honoring each other, not respecting each other. Fear God. I think that's the key. Fear God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Why did God put this in His inspired word? Because I want to think it's the four areas we fail in the most. Honoring each other. Loving each other. Honoring the authorities over us. And then that all comes down that we don't have the fear of God that we should have. You know, if we fear God, and we think about that, God Almighty, He has showed us how He wants us to love each other. He wants us to love each other as Christ has loved His church. Christ gave his life for the church. That's how much he wants us to love each other. You know, for us to hurt a brother or sister, for us to destroy a young soul, should be just as painful as killing someone. Literally, physically killing someone. It should be that painful. You know, if we have that kind of love for each other, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying if we have that kind of love for each other, nobody will ever move from this congregation, but they will not move without moving with tears. If we have that kind of love for each other, when we move from this place to another, it's going to be moving in sorrow. We're not going to want to leave. It's going to be because God has called us to another place. You know, and that's when the church can be a blessing. That's when the church is precious. When you see brothers and sisters, yes, there is times, there are situations when God calls us to leave this congregation. He probably hasn't called every one of y'all to stay here for the rest of your lives. He may call some of y'all somewhere else. But when we have that kind of love for each other, it's going to pull. It's going to be like a child leaving their home. I ain't experienced that yet, but I'm not looking forward to it either. I think it's going to be kind of hard, but you know, it's like a child being pulled from our home. It's painful. That should be the love that we have for each other. That should be the honor and respect that we have for each other. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 23. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." You know, that's something that really shows whether a church has true love for each other. And I'm going to speak freely. I'm not in the ministry here, and I'm going to speak freely. I don't know. I trust y'all are loving your ministry and supporting them. But that is something that your ministry needs. They need your love and your support, your respect, your honor. You know, there's a lot of things that your ministry do. Well, a lot of time that they spend that you probably don't know about. You know, there's probably a lot of times your ministry are up late, working, taking care of problems, whatever it is. They're not going to call all of you up and tell you that. I want you to think about it. I know all of you that aren't in the ministry can't fully do what I'm about to tell you to do, but try to put yourself in the shoes of your ministry. Just try to think about what they go through. Try to put yourself into their shoes for a little bit. You know, why is it that so many, we look over a lot of the plain churches, why is it that so many preachers are struggling? Why is it that so many of them are having trouble? You know, I'd just love it. I would love to open it up and hear what all your thoughts are on that. We ain't got time for it. But I want to think one of the main things is we forget to pray for them. We forget to pray for them. Your leaders need your prayers. They need your support. Your leaders aren't perfect, by no means. I'm sure these three men are not perfect. But I trust that that's what they're striving to live up to, is to live up to perfection. But you know, as you go through church life, and I hope y'all aren't facing that, and I hope you never will and never have faced it. But if you ever do face this, think about it before you act. You know, there's times that your ministry almost seems, you know, it seems like that they've kind of got the reins and the whip together, and they're driving this thing through. You probably experienced it in some way or another. Maybe not here. I hope not here. And don't cringe, ministry. I don't know of anything that y'all have done that with either. So, like I say, I'm going to speak freely. If you've done it, I'm not preaching at you. But you may have experienced that, where it seems like they're driving something through. Or maybe it seems like they're just not doing nothing. You know, and then you have these others say, oh, well, the bishop's proud. You know, he's got his position now. He's proud of it. Brothers, I want to give you one little warning on that. I dare say your bishop is not proud. I'd say he's about that close to laying it all down. And you want to know why? Because he is stressed to his limits. It looks like he's proud. He's not proud at all. He's just trying to keep his feet on the ground, and he's trying to keep things going through, trying to stay together, trying to keep all of y'all together. You see where this is going? That's going to kind of look a little bit like pride, ain't it? But it's not. If you experience that, maybe you feel that from your bishop. If you feel that, get on your knees. That man, the poor man is struggling. He's in a battle. He needs your prayers. He needs your support, and he needs your help. And if you don't believe me, get up beside him. Walk right along beside him, and I want to tell you, that man will be right there with you. He's not a proud man. He needs your prayers. He needs your love, your respect, your honor, and your support. And don't be scared to come up there. Don't be scared to. I know Brother Ernie well enough to, I can tell you, I don't believe he's proud. So if you face it in any way, in that way, get up there beside the brother. He's struggling on something. Like I say, he's not going to call you out. He's not going to call you up and say, hey, yeah, I was up to 2 o'clock last night talking to so-and-so. You know, and I've got another one lined up for tonight, you know. And by the way, for the last three nights, I ain't been to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, that happens at times. We don't call everybody up and tell them that. You just don't do that. Get on your knees and ask the Lord for some strength to get you through the day, because you got another meeting coming along tonight. You're probably going to be there to 1 or 2 o'clock again tonight. You know, and when that one's over with, or right before, that's where it gets real bad. You're fixing to go into that meeting, you get a text from another brother or sister. They want to meet with you too. You see where this goes? There is some work in it, brothers and sisters. But now, I don't want to paint a discouraging picture, because the work of the ministry is a rewarding work. Every time I've been up to midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3, 4, whatever it was, all night long, There's a reward for it. It's a blessing. Yes, sometimes it'll drag us down. We are discouraged. Sometimes we're completely out of strength. But God is there, and He will help you through. The encouragement for you, brothers and sisters, your ministry needs your prayers. They do. It doesn't matter how supportive, how loving, how caring y'all are. And I want to believe that that's what y'all are being. I want to believe that you, brothers and sisters, surround your ministry and lift them up. Continue to do that, but don't do it without prayer. Your ministry are the ones in the forefront of this battle. They are in the forefront of the battle of Christ. They're the ones who are going to catch the arrows first. And I dare say, these three brethren are the ones who are going to try their best to shield each one of you from every arrow they can. Every fiery dart from Satan, they're going to be the one to try to shield you from it. I honestly believe they are. I think I know these three brethren well enough to know they're going to try to shield you. But what happens when they try to shield you? I don't know what happens here, but so often what happens is, oh, they don't want us to have this or that. Think before you speak. I don't know where you as a church are on any issue. I don't know that you're having any struggles at all. But one of the most discouraging things you can do to your ministry is when they have labored and labored. They have looked into this thing. They have studied into this. They have researched it, trying to figure out how to move forward on an issue. How to move forward safely. How to shield the congregation from as much temptation as possible. And they come forward with the decision after sometimes it can be 3-4 months. They've been laboring over something. They finally come together with a proposal or something on this issue. And then everybody just shoots at the smithereens. That can be discouraging. You've worked. You've labored. You've spent sleepless nights trying to figure this out. You've thought about it. Yes, let's go that route. Then you trail that one down and nope. That's where this will lead us over here. Then if we go this way, it'll lead us over there. They're trying to find a safe course for all. A safe course that everybody can follow. Everybody can walk down safely. So do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of the darts, a lot of the arrows, a lot of the pains hit your ministry face on. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in those sticky situations, think. Come to those meetings, whatever, prayerfully. Think about it. Spend time in prayer. You do some research on it. Don't just come to the meeting figuring the ministry is going to go your way. And then when they don't, be all tore up about it. Do the research for yourself. Then when you come, come in prayer. Come prayerfully. Opening yourself up before God. And ask God to direct your mind, to direct your thoughts, and to direct your words. You know, when we can come together in that way, with that love, that honor and respect for our leadership and our authority. It's not saying we're going to see eye to eye. It's not saying that you're going to agree with the ministry. You don't have to. And I'll go as far as to say it's not good to always agree with your ministry. I'll go that far. It's good to honestly, if you honestly disagree with your ministry, it's good to voice that in a respectful way. Because like I say, these three brethren are not perfect. There may be something they haven't thought about. But do it respectfully, with honor and love. That's how brotherhood is built. That brings so much strength. You know, I think I can say this much. I don't like talking much about our church and brethren there. But I think they all agree with me on this, and I feel that I'm safe to say this. When we started there, it was just a 5 or 6 families. We were real bad about just agreeing with everything, whether we did or not. We may not agree with an issue. The ministry come up and, oh, that's fine. If everybody else is okay with it, I'm okay with it. You know, that's pretty cheap. That's playing it real cheap. You know, if the other brethren are okay with it, I'm okay with it. No, you're not. You're not okay with it. Just say it. You know, that caused more damage. That caused more damage than I would have ever thought. If you say that at a brethren's meeting, brothers, or if y'all have members' meetings here, sisters too, if you say that you're okay with whatever the brethren decide, then that better be where you're at. Monday morning roll around and you show up at work, you better be saying, amen, I agree with what was decided last night. Because too often when we say, well, we're fine, whatever it is, get there to work. Boy, can you really believe how that turned out? I didn't think the brethren would all say that. I thought the brethren were over here. Say where you're at. Maybe you're the only one. That's all right. It don't matter. Say where you're at. That is brotherhood. When we're just open and honest. That's what your ministry want. Then they know how to go forward. They know where you're at. And what brings me joy is today at our brethren's meetings, that's where our brethren are at. And I praise God for it. That's where every one of them. We sat down at a brethren's meeting. And yeah, when it all starts out, you may wonder how on earth we're going to get it put together. But I feel our brethren have love and respect. They say exactly how they feel about it, but then when they're done, they say, but we will be workable. You know, you can work with that. Your ministry will be blessed if you do that. And I trust that's what you're doing. I hope I'm telling you something that you're wondering why I'm telling you that, because that's how you're doing it. But I just want to encourage you to continue to do that if that's how you are. If that's not how you are, then try it. With love, honor, and respect. It will not work if you don't have that. Don't do it if you don't have it. If you don't have love, honor, and respect, then don't do it. Because it won't work, because you're going to try to fight for your way. But if you do that in honor and love and respect, it can be a blessing. It can be a great strength. Because it doesn't only bless your ministry, it blesses the entire congregation. Because people know exactly where each brother and sister are at in the congregation. I will know whether something bothers Brother Jonas. I won't do that then. I'll respect him in that area. I will know, you know, and these sisters, you'll know what the other sisters, you know what, you'll know each other better that way. You'll be able to honor and respect each other better that way. That's what it's done for us. You know, we know where each other stands better. We understand what bothers or offends a brother or sister. And we can honor and respect that brother or sister. You know, it's very beautiful. And it's a blessing when we can do that. And to your ministry. Your laity needs your prayers as well. They need your prayers. That means so much. to the brotherhood, when the ministry pray for their brother and sisters. You know, when they know that the ministry care about their struggles and needs, they appreciate that. That gives them courage. I can't explain it, but it just does something for the church to know that the ministry love, honor, and respect them as well. You know, the church wants that from their ministry. They want to feel that the ministry understands their individual struggles, their individual needs. Yes, sometimes it can get a little discouraging. Sometimes we sit through one discouraging spiel after another one, and we just got to sit there and take it. You know, you get done, and that brother or sister, they thank you so much. They feel so much better. Just smile, say praise God, and when they're gone, you can cry. You may be feeling like that, you know, they just unloaded a dump truck load on you. But you let them unload it. Let them feel that love. You love them enough, they can just dump it all out. And you'll go to God for your strength. You can go to God. God has got all the strength that you brethren need. All of it. When you feel down and out, go to God. Cry out to God. He'll give you strength. And I know I don't need to tell you this. I know each one of you know this already. But don't tell anybody about the dump truck loads that get dumped on you. Be that confidence. Be that support that your brothers and sisters need. Be that for them. Be willing to bear that load for them. You have the foot of the cross, Jesus Christ. Just pour it out there. I can't explain that one either, but I do know it works. You get the load on you and you can't go with it. You don't have to. Just pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out again and pour it out again. Keep unloading that load. You can't carry the load. That's not what I'm trying to tell you, minister. You cannot carry the load. When your brethren and sisters bring the load and pour it out, carry it on to Christ. Empty that load there. Be that channel and direct your people to Jesus Christ. Be that connection. Sometimes we ask the question, why can't they go straight to Christ? Why can't they just go dump the load on Christ? They're at the foot of the cross. You know, this is the way God has ordained His church to work. This is the way He has set up His headship order. This is the way He wants His church to function. So, dear brethren, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Look to Jesus. Lean on Him. And when you feel like you've had all you can take, His hand is always there. Take the hand and He'll lead you through. And brothers and sisters, be considerate of your ministry. Be considerate of them. As much as possible, keep the loads as light as possible. Keep the load as light as possible. When you do dump the load out, let those dear brothers and their wives know that you are praying for them. That means a lot. You know, they just, brother or sister, they just poured out their heart. They feel freedom. They feel release. They feel better. But you just dumped the load on these couples. So pray for them. I encourage each one of you. Each one of you. I encourage you. Highly encourage you. Put your ministry in your daily prayer list. Put your ministering brethren in your daily prayer list. They need it. And their wives. You know, these brethren here are ordained. But all three of them are married. Their wives weren't ordained, but almost. Because my wife and their wives are our closest partners. They are our closest people that we communicate with. So yes, your wife isn't ordained, but she knows exactly what her husband is going through. And sometimes she may be bearing more of the load than he is. Trying to take the pressure off because she knows he just got a load 2 days before too. So consider what your ministry are doing. Just because you don't hear the alarm sound that your ministry are at work late, don't mean they're not. Just because you don't hear the alarm sounding doesn't mean that they're out about their own free will, their own pleasures, doing whatever they want. Very likely, they're working for you. So pray for them. And ministering brethren, pray for your laity. They need that too. I want to close with 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Brothers and sisters, live up to that verse. Finally, be ye all of one mind. You know what that's telling us? After it's all said and done, agree. Come to an agreement. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So after all the discussion, come to an agreement. Because you have compassion for one another's feelings. You have compassion for one another's convictions. You love your brethren. You love your sisters. So be pitiful and be courteous. You know, brothers and sisters, if you can live up to that verse, and I trust you are living up to that verse, church life can continue to keep your joy completely full. Think about that. I want to leave that one with you. If you want your joy full, live up to that verse. If you live up to that verse, when Sunday morning rolls around, you'll be here. You will be here. You will come in anticipating what your ministering brethren have to share with you. What the brother that's having devotions, you'll be praying for him. You'll be right there waiting to hear what God has. This time, let us all kneel for prayer.